Join WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio and tour guide Guy Murphy of Totally Yours and enter into Scripture, bringing to life the rich traditions of our Catholic faith as we journey with Jesus.
Welcome to this episode of Journey with Jesus on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. I'm your tour guide, Guy Murphy. Joining me today to talk with you about this special pilgrimage is Bill Snyder.
Hey, Guy. Thanks for having me here on the program. It's great to be with you. Where are you going to take us today?
I'm going to take you on a journey with Jesus from the Holy Land and into the Book of Life. For over 2,000 years, Jesus Christ has been the light of the world. Some people forget that today and ask, why is Jesus different from Buddha or Muhammad or Confucius or other religious leaders? That is why this journey will include the 15 proofs that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah, God made flesh.
Boy, 15 proofs, Guy. I'm looking forward to hearing about all of this today. But shouldn't we be afraid to travel to the Holy Land?
We provide a pilgrimage experience of a journey with Jesus. As our patron and intercessor, St. John Paul II, said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to journey with Jesus. As we journey to the Holy Land, our time together will be prayerful, informative, filled with excitement, inspiration, challenges, and fun. We hope to lead you on an experience that covers the entire life of Jesus Christ, beginning with the Bible, continuing on into the Holy Land, protected by Our Lady's mantle and into His Sacred Heart, as recorded in the Book of Life. Besides that, our experience as rally guides will keep us out of any areas that are tense and while sharing their love of their homeland.
Boy, Guy, that sounds really great. From the studio, I'm excited to follow your trip.
Well, 2,000 years ago, Andrew and John asked Jesus, where do you live? Jesus replied, come and see. They went, they saw, and they stayed with Jesus, and the world was changed. They stayed because they found with Jesus what fulfilled the deepest longing of the human heart. Perhaps we are here because we have the same questions as Andrew and John. For the next several days, we're going to go and respond to Jesus' invitation and come and see for ourselves, even if it's through the radio.
Beautiful. So what does Totally Yours mean?
Well, similar to St. John Paul II's motto, we are totally yours, totus tuus. That means we entrust all the details of this pilgrimage to Jesus through the help of Mary. We need the help, we want the help, and we accept her help. This journey is through the eyes of this engineer who relies on Our Lady's help. Engineers design, build, and fix things. Similarly, Jesus Christ will call us to help build up His kingdom. Our Lady is always reminding us that our life here on earth is a pilgrimage.
So tell us what a pilgrimage is, Guy.
A tourist goes to a place to see something new. A pilgrim experiences a place and through the grace of God becomes someone new. Many people share life-changing testimonies from a Totally Yours pilgrimage experience. What will your story be? After this journey, your family and friends back home we'll let you know whether you were on a tour or on a pilgrimage.
So how do we start, Guy?
The Holy Land is where it all began, our origins. Before we can build up the kingdom of God, a pilgrimage to the Holy Land is a good time to review our origins, the origins of our faith, and the origins of our human existence. Our faith concerns the very foundations of human and Christian life. According to the Catechism, the questions people ask from all times, where do we come from? Where are we going? What is our origin? What is our end? And where does everything that exists come from and where is it going?
So why is the Holy Land so important? You're taking us there today.
On our pilgrimage, we're going to visit people who claim that Adam, the first man, was created in the Holy Land. God made a Garden of Eden to the east from Genesis 2 in modern-day Iraq. Adam died in the Holy Land and was buried in the place of the skull. in Hebrew, Golgotha, Abraham received the promise that the Holy Land would belong to his descendants. The Holy Land is a land where God spoke through the prophets. It is a land where angels appeared often. It is a land where God's only begotten Son, Jesus, was born, lived, healed, taught, performed miracles, cast out demons, suffered, and redeemed us through his death and resurrection, and he opened the gates to heaven. The pinnacle of the Holy Land is the city of Jerusalem. Jesus called it the city of the great king. God himself had the people pilgrimage to the Holy Land, to Jerusalem, and they celebrated the yearly Passover from Deuteronomy.
What will we get a chance to see in the Holy Land?
As we journey to the Holy Land, we will see the places where Jesus walked in five major steps. Number one, the first step is to visit Mount Carmel and get a glimpse of the Old Testament and what a spiritual mess the world was in before arriving at Nazareth, where Jesus began his pilgrimage on earth in the womb of the Blessed Mother. Number two, we will follow the steps of St. Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem area, where Jesus was born and the angels heralded his coming. Number three, we'll visit the Judean desert, where Jesus was baptized and he was tempted by the devil. Number four, after that, we will visit much of the Galilee area where Jesus called his first disciples by the beautiful Sea of Galilee, and he preached and did many miracles. Number five, we'll end up in the Jerusalem area, where Jesus taught in the temple, instituted the Eucharist at the Last Supper, and made the way of the cross, died, and rose for us. This experience in these steps helps make the scriptures come alive, and our faith deepens. Upon our return to our homes, we notice that when we attend Mass and hear the scriptures, we will relive the images of these sacred places in our mind because we were there. A pilgrimage to the Holy Land is like reading a fifth gospel. The land itself speaks to us and reveals details about Jesus which are not recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The land will tell us how far Jesus walked, how high the mountains were that he climbed, and even how large the sea was that he calmed. We will walk through these steps during this journey. Shall we begin?
Yes, let's begin.
To have a great pilgrimage experience, first we will review the origins of our faith. The Catechism says our profession of faith begins with God, believing in God, the one, only one, and loving him with all our being has enormous consequences for our whole life. The Catechism also states the existence of God the Creator can be known with certainty through his works by the light of human reason, even if this knowledge is often obscured and disfigured by error.
So how can we know for certain with our human reason that God the Creator exists?
Well, let's take an example. Bill, take off your watch and look at it. Many watches are made up of four compounds: metal, plastic, glass, and rubber. Bill, someone made that watch.
Yeah, of course. So what?
What if I told you someone did not make the watch? That if you just took those four individual compounds and put them in a bag and shook it up for a million years, the compounds would arrange themselves randomly to be a watch?
I don't think so. Somebody made this watch.
How do you know for certain that someone made that watch? You did not see anyone make it. Have you ever been to Switzerland where that label said it was made? You have no proof that someone made that watch.
My reason sees an order in the compounds of that watch. That order is functional, beautiful, and efficient. My reason says that it took intelligence and power to put those compounds together in an order that created what we call the watch. My reason says that the odds of those compounds coming together by chance to make up the watch are so low that I know for certain that somebody made that watch, even if I do not go to Switzerland to verify that they made it.
Of course, you are right. Your watch not only keeps accurate time, it beeps at the right time when you set the alarm. Yes, the watch was designed by someone with intelligence and power. In a similar way, let us take a look at a human person. We'll call her Angela. If we chemically analyzed Angela, we would discover that 95% of her body is made out of four elements: nitrogen, hydrogen, oxygen, and carbon. Now take a glass of your water bottle that is half full, and the other half is full of air. Add the inside of a pencil to it, and you have most of the same elements that Angela is made up out of. Now, if you randomly shake up the elements in this glass, even for millions and millions of years, would the elements ever arrange themselves to become Angela? Now let's imagine, let's shake up that bottle and look inside and ask, hey, Angela, is it you? No, let's shake it up for another couple thousand years. Look, hey, Angela, is it you?
That's a really great point, Guy.
Similar to the watch, we know for certain that someone made Angela, even though we did not see the designer. Our reason sees an order in the elements of Angela. That order is functional, beautiful, and efficient. Our reason says that it took intelligence and power to put together those elements in that order that created what and who we call Angela. Our reason says that the odds of those compounds coming together by chance to make up the watch are so low that we know for certain that someone who is intelligent made the watch. In the same way, it took somebody who is super intelligent and super powerful to make Angela, even if we didn't go to heaven to verify that God made her. Science tells us that our eyes, our ears, our heart, and our brain, and even one single human cell in our body are much more complicated than your watch. In modern times, there's a microbiologist and mathematician from Caltech named Doug Axe. Doug calculated the odds of the elements arranging themselves to make one simple protein that it is found in only one part of a human cell. He came up with a number of 1 to the 10 to the 74th power. This number is so small you cannot even imagine it. Therefore, mathematically, we can agree with Catechism number 286 and say, by our reason, with certainty, that there is a God with divine intelligence power by observing his creation. Just as you would conclude with certainty that only a fool would say that your watch came together by random acts, we could say for certain what the scriptures say in Psalm 14, verse 1, a fool says in his heart that there is no God.
Well, there certainly is a God, and I'm glad the mathematicians and scientists can confirm that as well. And I suppose that when people try to explain evolution for everything, they're really not doing math.
Yes, exactly. The Earth would have to be trillions and trillions of years old just to get a simple protein. Total years, we recommend Father Robert Spitzer's Magis Center. And where does the evidence lead? To find out more information about the scientific reasons and proof that God is God. But during this pilgrimage, we will not be focusing so much on the numerous proof that God is He who is, but we will journey with Jesus. We'll be emphasizing the second step of the spiritual life, the 15 proofs that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God made flesh, the Messiah, the Lord of Lords. And if we embrace His love and saving power, we will not only be fulfilling our purpose in life, but we will achieve an inheritance that we will enjoy with our immortal soul for all of eternity. As apostles of the Blessed Mother, we find it helpful to be familiar with these proofs in order to articulate the reason for our hope in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Boy, I look forward to hearing about the 15 proofs that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Well, we have to take a short break on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. I'm Guy Murphy. We'll be right back with more of A Journey with Jesus.
This is Father Joseph Mary Wolfe from EWTN. Catholic radio is important because you reach people where they are. Often people may be traveling in their cars, they may be at home doing other things, and they can still be growing in their faith. They could be participating in prayers. That we have all of these stories of people who were touched by what they heard on the network. They came into the Catholic faith. and many other stories of how people's lives were changed for the better through Catholic Radio.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at WSFIradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Listen at 7 o'clock p.m. every Tuesday to WSFI Spotlight, a half-hour conversation with outstanding Catholics from our community and around the world. WSFI Spotlight re-airs on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. or listen on demand anytime by subscribing to our podcast. Visit WSFIradio.org for more information. It's WSFI Spotlight, a conversation with Catholics living in the light. Only on WSFI Catholic Radio, Tuesdays at 7 o'clock p.m.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
Welcome back to this episode of Journey with Jesus on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. I'm your tour guide, Guy Murphy. Joining me today to talk about the trip to the Holy Land is Bill Snyder.
Guy, it's great to be with you, and I want to ask you to start the second half of this program. Tell me a little bit about the Holy Land.
The Holy Land is one of the most biblically and historically important areas in the world. Geographically, the Holy Land has many names. It is also called the Land of Canaan, the Promised Land, the Land of Israel, and Palestine. 64 times in the Bible, the area is called the Land of Canaan. When we hear who Canaan is and what he did, then much of the mysteries of the Holy Land and mankind are revealed. We'll give you a hint. He is Noah's grandson. If you're looking at the Holy Land on a map, we'll see it is only about the size and population of the state of New Jersey, or 1/7 the size of the state of Illinois. It is around 50 miles wide and 200 miles long. Much happened in this little area. It has Egypt to the south of its borders, Lebanon and Syria to the north, Jordan to the east, and the Mediterranean Sea to the west.
That is a little but powerful place.
Yes, and an overview of the map also shows that Israel is part of the Middle East with Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey located close by. Actually, a world map will demonstrate that Israel is located in the middle of the world. As anyone would travel from Asia to Africa by land, one would pass through Israel's borders.
I can see how the central location can make it a hot spot in the world. How does its location provide information about God?
As we travel through the Holy Land, it is good to know that there are two types of information about God. There are things that we know for certain through our reason, such as God exists, that basically we can figure out. There are also things that are above our human reason that the all-knowing God reveals to us out of love for his children, in order to help us fulfill our purpose. The Bible is one good example of something that we did not figure out, but God revealed it to us. This type of information is known as divine revelation. Much of the divine revelation that we receive from God was received here in the Holy Land.
What makes the Bible more special than other books in the world?
The Bible is unique. The world has nothing to even compare to this ancient document. It claims that God is the author, using over 40 human instruments from three continents, started over 3,500 years ago, and it lasted over 1,500-year period. It is the most cherished, most translated, most distributed, and most persecuted book in the whole world. It reveals the history of mankind and describes who we are, where we come from, why we are here, where are we headed, and how God expects us to behave. The Bible is made up in two parts. The Old Testament prepares us for the New, and the New Testament fulfills the Old. The two shed light on each other. Both are the true Word of God. Today, there is much confusion about both the things we can know for sure through our reason and things God has revealed to us as well. That is one of the reasons we go on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. A pilgrimage can help us review our origins and see where it all started.
Our origins? Like creation?
Creation can be considered a revelation from God. Therefore, the relationship between God and man includes all of God's wonderful creation. The Catechism says, among all the scripture texts about creation, the first three chapters of Genesis occupy a unique place. Read in the light of Christ with the unity of the sacred scripture and the living tradition of the church, these texts remain the principal source for catechism of the mysteries of the beginning, creation, fall, and promise of salvation.
The first three chapters of Genesis are the principal source. Why is there so much confusion about what we hear about the Bible and Genesis in particular?
Different people interpret the Bible in different ways. Totally Yours, including myself, follows the teaching from Jesus Christ as interpreted through His one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We believe God is the author and the Bible is the truth. Much of these interpretations of the Bible can be found in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which we will quote frequently. The reasons for this faith in the Catholic Church will be explored during our journey to the Holy Land. Yes, Judas, who betrayed Jesus, was a bishop in Jesus' one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And it would be better if that man had not been born, as is stated in Matthew 26. But the world has seen billions of holy Christians in our history. But also, we have plenty of others that fell off the path to heaven. The bad examples do not mean that the Holy Spirit is not infallibly at work. As we journey to the Holy Land, we will see clearly how to discern. We also respect people who interpret things in a different way, but the Bible and the Catechism gives us a clear identity of who we are and what we believe and how we ought to act. The Catholic Church teaches that you can, but you do not have to interpret the Genesis day as a 24-hour period. If you start thinking of day one as era one, as long as you don't get hung up on this, you can learn much from the wonderful truths of the creation account of Genesis.
Can we get a brief summary about creation, Guy?
Well, the important thing to know is the beauty of creation reflects the infinite beauty of the Creator. If we want to sum up the creation account, in a Genesis day one, God created and separated the light day from the darkness night. Today we know this as the Big Bang. Genesis day two, God arranges the waters. The era three, God created dry land. The era four, God created sun and moon. Era 5, God created fish and birds. Era 6, God created animals and human beings.
You mentioned a buzzword, the Big Bang, in Era 1 of Genesis. I hear of the doubts and even ridicules about Genesis. If we do not interpret the day as 24 hours, is this justified, and where do the ridicules come from?
There are several wonderful truths that God is revealing about Himself and about man in the creation account of Genesis. This includes God wills a culture of life and goodness. There seems to be a modern-day resistance that sows doubt about the validity of the creation account, so much so that addressing it here can shed some light of truth that will sow doubts in their doubts. Since the French Revolution of 1789, which was very violently opposed to the Holy Bible, in the world there is a highly financed secularist movement that has an agenda that includes the indoctrination of our children against the Bible. They present topics in a manner that makes faith incompatible with reason. The heart of their agenda is to make a disorder about the truth that God didn't create everything in one day or one era or one step, but he used several steps. These secularists kind of say, well, there's so many trillions of steps that it all happened by itself, and then they kick God out of the whole picture. The average person does not do the math, so they tend to believe the highly financed secularist movement because they repeat their agenda over and over so often that the propaganda confuses people. More details of this agenda are found in that book, Journey for Jesus, about the Holy Land.
Guy, we'll definitely have to talk about and get a copy of your book here on future programs.
Something to keep in mind. The people with the agenda withhold from our children that it was a Catholic priest and scientist, Father George Lemaitre, that came up with the Big Bang Theory that matches Genesis' Let There Be Light. Also, these people do not tell our children, the most scientists agree, that nothing can bang itself into an existing universe. Nothing can do only nothing. The fact that the universe had a beginning implies that a super powerful, super intelligent being perfectly banged the universe into existence. Imagine if you have nothing, complete vacuum, all of a sudden, bang, you have the universe. No way. What or who made the Big Bang go bang? This is what the scientists can't answer yet.
We don't need to talk about this, and it does indicate the existence of our good God. But why does God create? What is in it for God?
To understand how awesome God is, we must ask ourselves, why did God do it? If God is almighty, all perfect, all good, all knowledge, all perfect happiness, perfect love, nothing we could do can increase his power, perfection, or love, or happiness, why did God bother to create us? The answer is, God is so good that he wanted to share his happiness with others, so he made us creatures. In other words, love shares. When we wrap our minds and hearts around this concept, it provides a good foundation in which to build our spiritual life upon and our motivation for building up God's kingdom.
Praise the Lord. So what is man's purpose? So what is the purpose of man's life on earth?
The purpose for our existence is highlighted in the creation account. Creation was fashioned with a view to the Sabbath, and therefore for the worship and adoration of God. Worship is inscribed in the order of creation. Therefore, one could say that the purpose of us human beings here on this pilgrimage on earth is for us to know, praise, love, and serve God in this world and be forever happy with God in the next. One could look at our journey on earth as an embryo stage for man into which we could develop into children of God and be really born for eternal life in heaven.
That's so great. Today's show, we've covered a lot, Guy. We've reviewed what a pilgrimage is. We've showed proof of the existence of our good God beyond a reasonable doubt. You have convinced us that Genesis comes from God, and there are many beautiful truths about man. There are forces in our culture that try to undermine it. God does have a clear purpose for our life on earth. What will we discuss in our next show? I'm looking forward to many more programs.
Well, the next time we're going to discuss our paradise home, the fall of man, and then the entire biblical history, and then through God's great mystery, the promise of redemption, where we can once again be put up in paradise. So that wraps it up. And once again, this is Guy Murphy from WSFI 88.5 Catholic Radio, and we'll see you next time.
This was Journey with Jesus on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. For more information about this or any other program, visit WSFIRadio.org.